Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. I think we might be able to do a little bit better than that. I said, give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Because he's so awesome. And we ought to come in with praise on our lips. Amen. Because he doesn't have to do it. But he does it anyway. Amen. Amen. I call the worship scripture today come from Psalms 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning to say thank you now. Because we know that you are present. For you said if just two or three gather and gather in your name, you will be in the midst. You didn't say that they had to be perfect. And you didn't say they had to be sinless. You just said if we gather in your name, you'll be here. Well, Father, we have come and we have gathered in your name. And we know that your power is here with you. We thank you. Because without your presence, we can do nothing. But with your presence, we can do all things. You are an awesome God who sits on high but looks low to see what his people is going through. The Bible shares with us that your ears are tended towards your people so you can hear their every cry. Today, Lord God, we come to say thank you for hearing our cries. Thank you for hearing our moanings, our groanings, Lord God. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Because you've heard them, we know that we can make it through. Because you are in our prayers, in our situations with us. And because you're there, we can make it through all things. So we come this morning to say thank you for your very presence. We ask now that while we're here, you give us power. You give us what we need to make it through. We ask now these blessings in your son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn number 596.
Oh,
just wanted to stand just for a quick second before the choir comes to tell you guys that we are so excited to be here as your pastor and first lady. I can't tell you how the wife and I feel and how excited we are. And we are so thankful to God for blessing us with such a loving group of people. I'm beside myself. And we are so looking forward to what God is going to do with us. Because one thing I know is when love is present, the power of God is present. And all we have felt since we've been here is love. This is a loving church. And when you have a group of loving people, they can move mountains. So we're looking forward to the power that God is going to show in this church and through this church and by this church. We are so happy. I just had to stand and say that I can't even find the words to tell you how happy we are. We just been rejoicing ever since we got the word. And we want to let you know also that we've already heard from the conference and we are good to go. So let's rock and roll, amen. That's right. Amen. We worship him for who he is. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father, the one who's sovereign in all that he does, the one who makes no mistakes, because you are wise beyond any thought that man could have. Your wisdom is infinite. It's timeless. It goes from time to time with no beginning and no ending. We come to you today because your power is present in our lives. We come to you today because you are present in our lives. When we look back over our journey, we realize that you have been a father. And not only a father, but you have been a good father. One who have loved his children so much that you look past all of our faults and still show us love. When we didn't do what you asked, you still loved us. When we didn't do as you instructed, you still loved us. When we thought that we were big enough to go against your word, yet and still, you still loved us. And not only have you loved us, Master, but you have protected us and you have provided for us. So we come this morning to say thank you. As we come today, Father, we bring many of issues with us. Many are trials, tribulations, hardships. But we know, Father, that we have brought them to the right place. For we have brought them to you. Father, you said unto us to bring our burdens unto you, to bring our cares unto you, our concerns unto you, our worries unto you. Because you are powerful enough to take them. And not only take them, Master, but you are also powerful enough to resolve the issues. So we come this morning to say thank you. Because you are God who's so very present. We can call you at any time of the day. We can call you first thing in the morning. We can call you in the afternoon. And we can call you late at night. And Master, no matter when or where we are, when we call you, you will hear our humble cry. Thank you, Master, for being such a good God. Many of us are going through things that we never thought that we'd ever see and that we'll ever have to deal with. But yet and still, you are there with us, carrying us and keeping us and protecting us and covering us. And not only that, Father, but you are making a way. So we come this morning to say thank you for being such a kind God. Thank you for being such a loving God. You are worthy to be praised. Father, we lift your name this day. In your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We're asking now that the officers will come for the purpose of the tithing and offering. Thank you. Well, Father God, we come to you, Father, to say thank you now for what has been given here today. For your people have decided to stand on your word, to stand on your power, and give back unto you as you've asked, Father. And we pray now that your mighty hand will be on what has been given here today, so that man all over this world will see that you are still in charge and that you are still God and you are still the Almighty. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let every heart say amen. God, we stand now before your people. We pray that you use us in this hour to speak to them. For we know, Father, that we have nothing that we can say of ourselves that has power. But everything that's from you has power. Speak now so your people can hear. Speak now so your people can grow. Speak now so your people can become more powerful. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 3, begin with verse 1. And it reads, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." Amen. Just for a few moments, I would like to take this subject. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? Church, I would like to open this message with this question because I want you to make this personal. I want you to ask yourself, why do I go to church? And for I've learned over the years that people go to church for various reasons. Some of us come to church because our parents brought us. Some of us come to church because we feel obligated to come. Because it's part of our moral Christian duty. Others come because it's part of their family tradition or family history. We were brought up in the church. Our mother made sure that we went to church. So because of that tradition, or shall I say that trend that mother set, we come to church. And then there are those of us who come to church because we hold a position. Maybe we're on the deacon board, trustee, usher, whatever it is. We go to church simply because we hold that position. And then there are those of us who come to church because we like to be entertained. We want to hear the preacher give a good word, and we love to hear him sing, and want to hear a particular person sing in a choir, or we want to hear the choir sing my song. Come to be entertained. We don't want to come and don't hear those things, and if we don't hear those things, we find ourselves bored. And then there are those of us who come to church to find a mate. Husband or wife. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Old saying, if you want a good man or a good woman, go to church. I tell you, be careful, because remember, the church is the hospital for the sin sick. Sin still may be prevalent, amen? But then there are those of us who come to church to make network connections. Somebody at the church who got some businesses, some power that I want to get next to, and they can help me along the way in my career. So I look to go to church to make the appropriate connections. My brothers and my sisters, I want to say to you, no matter what your reasons are for coming, God is still excited. He's still excited that you're here because he didn't ask for your intentions to be perfect. All he needs is your attention and your expectations. So So when you come to church, make sure you bring your attention and your expectations. Reverend, what are you talking about? Well, let's take a look at this text. In this text, we find that this man who has been crippled all of his life, never experienced the freedom of being able to move on his own, never experienced the freedom of just getting up and going. If you're like me, you know, every now and then I just want to get and go. He was never given the privilege to say, I can get up. Everywhere he went, someone had to bring him, someone had to take him, someone had to show him, someone had to get him to where he was going. And one day, after he had been coming for many of years, he met the right people at the right time. They say in the scripture here that they placed him at the gate of Jericho, which is the door of the inner court. Let me see if I can make this a little clearer. During this time, the sanctuary or the temple was designed with courts. The outer courts, which would be our front yard, for the Gentiles, the lame and the blind were accepted. Where our foyer is where the women were accepted. Our sanctuary is where the men were accepted. And the other court was where the priests were accepted, where they were able to go behind the veil. That would be where I'm sitting. Every day they brought him to that door, right outside our sanctuary. And he begged every day for something that he thought he needed. He came to church for the wrong reason. Many of us come to church for the wrong reasons. But God doesn't care why you come. But he wants to know that when you get here, can he get your attention? Can he not only get your attention, but can you have some expectations? Here this man is sitting outside of the inner court where the power of God lies, but he can't get in because of his situation. But yet and still, he knew that if he can just get to the door, he knew that he can get somebody to give him something to help him along the way. He needed a quick fix. He was looking for something temporary to help him with the hopelessness of his situation. He wanted something that man could give him. He was looking for the source that man had. He was looking for some financial things. He was looking for a little bit of power. He was looking for maybe some kind words. But when we look at the text, we find that they did something here a little bit different. They responded to him in a way that made it a little fascinating for me. I don't know if you like me when it comes to. I get fascinated by certain things. And their response fascinated me because their response required that he did something. When you look at the text, it says this. It says, Peter fastened his eyes upon him. With John said, look on us. In the word, other words, he says, look at us. When he says, look at us, it required for him to do four things. It required for him to first be humble. Number two, it was required for him to submit himself to them. Number three, it required that he give them his full attention. And number four, it required that he had an expectation. So my question to you, my brothers and sisters, why are you? Guilty of coming to be entertained? Are you guilty of coming because it's your child's day to sing in the choir? Are you guilty you coming only because it's your day to be on post? Your day to teach? Are you coming out of obligation? Why are you coming to church? I had to ask myself that. Why do I go to church? I found out that we ought to be coming to church because we ought to be looking to see the power of God. You should be coming with an expectation to see the hands of God move. And I ask another question. Are we doing that? Are you just getting up in the morning out of formality, ironing your clothes, women getting your hair ready, men maybe outside watching? Why are you coming? Ask yourself, am I coming because I truly want to see the hand of God move? Am I coming with expectation? Or am I coming just out of? Look at the text. The text said that he humbled himself before them because Peter said, fasten your eyes on us. And the Bible says he gave him. The position that Peter had required that he looked up. The Bible says that the church is the house of prayer. Amen? And when we look up, we ought to be looking well. We ought to be looking to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help come from whom? From the Lord. It didn't say your help come from Reverend Robinson. It didn't say your help come from the deacons. It didn't say your help come from the choir. The Bible says that all of your help come from the Lord. So when you come to church, you ought to be humble and put yourself in a position where you can look to the hill . You ought to be coming to submit yourself, humble yourself before God. Yeah, I know. You weren't expecting this message today. No, neither was I. I actually prepared another message. This morning, God changed. Because he wants you to come to church with true reason. It don't make any sense for you to keep coming and you coming just out of formality. And let me say this to you. If you don't bring nothing, you won't get nothing. Say that one more time. If you don't bring nothing, you won't get nothing. Peter required that this man do something in order for him to get a blessing. God requires that you do something when you come here on Sunday mornings in order for you to get a blessing. He said you got to bring something with you. What's that, Reverend? You got to bring your faith. The Bible says faith without work is dead, which means you got to come with expectation to see God move in the house. If you don't bring your faith, don't be talking about they didn't do nothing for me. No, you didn't bring. Coming to use the church as a social savings club? The Bible says you ought to humble yourself.
James 4 and 10 says this, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you get to the house of prayer where God abides, and you humble yourself before him while you are here, the Bible says he'll lift you up. That ain't what Robinson said. That's what the Bible said. The Bible says if you have faith, when you get here, if you humble yourself, the Bible says that God has a promise for you. His promise is whatever situation you're in that got you down, he said that he'll lift you up. In order to get you up out of a down situation, he has to change your situation. Somebody didn't hear me. Look at this boy. This boy's situation was bleak. It was not good. In their custom, he was considered to be the lowest of the low. When you're crippled during this time in their custom, you were considered to be low. But look what God did. God sent his men by one day. And when you look at what his men did, you'll see that the power of God was present. What did they do, Reverend? They said this. Look at us. And the Bible said, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then the Bible says, and he took him by the what? Not by the hand, but by the right hand. See, right hand in the Bible signifies the holiness and the power of God because of the position that he holds. Y'all miss me. God said, if you humble yourself, submit yourself while you're in the house, God said, ask what you will, and it shall be given. God said, when you are here, if you submit yourself and give yourself unto me, and you are giving yourself totally unto me, he said, I will put the fullness of the power that I have in me in you. Wait a minute. Y'all missed me there. He said, I will give you my right hand of fellowship. He said, I will give you authority. I will give you power to come out of your situation. Not doors, but doors. It's like make sure the air on. People are comfortable. Thank you, by the way. But God said he needs for you to do more when you come. Don't come out of obligation. Don't come just because it's what you used to. You want to know why you don't see any power? You're not bringing anything. Because God promised us one thing. He promised us to meet us at our expectation. How you know that, brother? The Bible teaches us that God will always honor our request. He says, if we believe and we shall not doubt, it shall be given. And then he said, you don't have to have a whole lot of faith. He said, if you got faith to what? The size of a grain of mustard. He said, you can speak to any mountain and tell that mountain to move, and that mountain shall be moved. Somebody ain't bring
it. Yeah, for those English people that said it the way I want.
Somebody is not bringing something with
you. We've got the score they look.
says, come as you are. With me, bring all your sins with you. The ones that we're trying to hide, he said, bring them with you. He said, be transparent with me and watch for they'll hide them from me and watch what I do. First, I can't answer that for you. You got to answer that. But I want you to know if your answer got some problems to it. You want to see power? Bring expectation. You want to see God move? Bring some expectation. You want to see God deliver you from something? Bring expectation. And when I say expectation, bring your faith and believing that God will do exactly what he said. Ask me how I know what he did. He delivered me. Doctors told me that they couldn't do what they ended up doing to fix me. Shout out all over this pool. God linked me up with one of the greatest doctors in America. He was rated the best doctor in America 8 times. His credentials are 4 or 5 pages long. And he said, we can't fix you with this. But we can do it with this. I'm going to get into the details because I don't know all those medical words. But he said, we can't fix you with doing this one thing. But we can do something else to fix you. And when they went in, they realized what they thought they could do, they couldn't do. But thank God, I prayed before we left the house. So when I went there with expect. And I prayed that God would give them the power to do what they think they can't. What they think they can't do. And when they told me after everything was over that they were not able to do, they were not able to do the lift because the muscle wouldn't hold. But they were able to remove scar tissue and pull a flap down to cover the hole when they said that they couldn't remove scar tissue. Because it will mess up the lining near the hole. Y'all don't hear me. But I know a God who can make everything that you think won't happen happen. Because when I come to church, I come with expectation. I come to see God move. I come to see God shake some things. I come to see God redo my foundation and make my foundation stronger. I come to see God shake up the world. Why do you come? Why do you come? Church. God don't care about you being here just sitting here. You ain't doing God no favors by coming. Give God a hand clap of praise. You know, God is, I like to say God has a sense of humor. Because I wanted to have a shouting message today, an uplifting message today by this being my first Sunday as the pastor. Then God said, no, son, the shoes that you wear is pastoral. Sometimes you have to preach pastoral messages. And he needs you to know that when you come here, from here on out, come here with expectations. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of the church are now open. If there would be one
does not know God and free pause of your sins, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. Clap of praise. Let us bow our heads. Oh, Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you for all that you have said here today. And we pray that your people are able to receive your message and receive what you're trying to say to them. Because only when this happens will growth take place. Only when this happens will they become mature in you. So we say thank you for your messages and your words that you had for us today. And Father, now as we prepare to leave this place, we ask that you watch over us. That you not only watch over us, but you send your Holy Spirit with us so that we can overcome all that's set before us. For we know the enemy wants to trip us up and make us stumble. Not only do he want to make us stumble, but he wants to make us fall. But we thank you now for your presence by way of your Holy Spirit that will give us the ability to make it through all his attempts, all of his trickery, all of his manipulation. And we know, Father, that you will see us back to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen.